upholster one of the chairs in this room. I mean, pay to put a new cover on this here chair. Hell, I threw him money like you'd scatter feed corn for chickens. I threw money at him just to get rid of him long enough to climb back into the car and drive away. And then in Morocco, them Arabs, why, prostitution begins at 4 or 5. That's no exaggeration. Why, I remember one day in Marrakech, that old walled Arab city, I sat on a broken-down wall to have a cigar. It was fearful hot there. And this Arab woman stood in the road and looked at me till I was embarrassed. She stood stock still in the dusty, hot road and looked at me till I was embarrassed. But listen to this. She had a naked child with her, a little naked girl with her, barely able to toddle. And after a while, she set this child on the ground, and she give her a push, and she whispered something to her. This child come toward me, barely able to walk, come toddling up to me. And Lord, it makes you sick to remember a thing like this. It stuck out its hand and tried to unbutton my trousers. That child was not yet 5. Can you believe me, or do you think I'm making this up? I went back to the hotel and I said to Big Mama, "Get packed up. We're clearing out of this country."
Brick: "Big Daddy, you're on a talking jag tonight."
Big Daddy, ignoring this remark:
"Yes, sir, that's how it is. The human animal is a beast that dies, but the fact that he's dying don't give him pity for others. No, sir. Did you say something?"
Brick:
"Yep."
Big Daddy:
"What?"
Brick:
"Hand me over that crutch so I can get up."
Big Daddy:
"Where you going?"
Brick:
"I'm taking a little short trip to Echo Spring."
Big Daddy:
"To where?"
Brick:
"Liquor cabinet."
Big Daddy:
"Yes, sir, boy."
He hands Brick the crutch.
"The human animal is a beast that dies, and if he's got money, he buys and buys and buys. And I think the reason he buys everything he can buy is that in the back of his mind, he's got the crazy hope that one of his purchases will be life everlasting, which it never can be. The human animal is a beast that..."
Brick at the liquor cabinet: "Big Daddy, you sure are shooting the breeze here tonight." There's a pause, and voices are heard outside.
Big Daddy:
"I've been quiet here lately. Spoke not a word, just sat and stared into space. I had something heavy weighing on my mind, but tonight that load was took off me. That's why I'm talking. The sky looks different to me."
Brick: "You know what I like to hear most?"
Big Daddy:
"What?"
Brick:
"Solid quiet. Perfect, unbroken quiet."
Big Daddy:
"Why?"
Brick:
"Because it's more peaceful."
Big Daddy:
"Man, you'll hear a lot of that in the grave."
He chuckles agreeably.
Brick:
"Are you through talking to me?"
Big Daddy:
"Why are you so anxious to shut me up?"
Brick:
"Well, sir, ever so often you say to me, 'Brick, I want to have a talk with you,' but when we talk, it never materializes. Nothing said. You sit in a chair and gas about this and that, and I look like I listen. I try to look like I listen, but I don't listen, not much. Communication's awful hard between people, and somehow between you and me, it just don't."
Big Daddy:
"Have you ever been scared? I mean, have you ever felt downright terror of something?"
He gets up.
"Just one moment. I'm gonna close these doors."
He closes doors on Gallery as if he were going to tell an important secret.
Brick:
"What?"
Big Daddy:
"Brick."
"Huh?"
Big Daddy:
"Son,
I thought I had it."
Brick:
"Had what?"
"Had what, Big Daddy?"
Big Daddy: "Cancer."
Brick:
"Oh."
Big Daddy:
"I thought the old man made out of bones had laid his cold and heavy hand on my shoulder."
Brick:
"Well, Big Daddy, you kept a tight mouth about it."
Big Daddy:
"A pig squeals. A man keeps a tight mouth about it, in spite of a man not having a pig's advantage."
Brick:
"What advantage is that?"
Big Daddy:
"Ignorance of mortality is a comfort. A man don't have that comfort. He's the only living thing that conceives of death, that knows what it is, The others go without knowing, which is the way that anything living should go. Go without knowing, without any knowledge of it. And yet a pig squeals, but a man sometimes, he can keep a tight mouth about it. Sometimes he...
There's a deep smoldering ferocity in the old man.
Can keep a tight mouth about it. I wonder if...
Brick.
What, Big Daddy?
Big Daddy.
A whiskey highball would injure this spastic condition?
Brick.
No, sir. It might do it good.
Big Daddy grins suddenly, wolfishly.
Lord, I can't tell you. The sky's open. Hell, it's open again. It's open, boy. It's open.
Brick looks down at his drink.
Brick.
You feel better, Big Daddy?
Big Daddy. Better? Hell, I can breathe. All my life, I've been like a doubled-up fist.
He pours a drink.
Pounding, smashing, driving. Now I'm gonna loosen these doubled-up hands and touch things easy with them.
He spreads his hands as if caressing the air.
You know what I'm contemplating?
Brick, vaguely.
No, sir. What are you contemplating?
Big Daddy.
Pleasure. Pleasure with women.
Brick's smile fades a little, but lingers.
Brick, this stuff burns me. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you something that you might not guess. I still have a desire for women, and this is my 65th birthday.
Brick,
I think that's mighty remarkable, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Remarkable?
Brick.
Admirable, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
You're damn right it is. Remarkable and admirable both. I realize now that I never had me enough. I let many chances slip by because of scruples about it. Scruples, convention, crap. All that stuff's bull, bull, bull. It took the shadow of death to make me see it. Now that shadow's lifted. I'm gonna cut loose and have, what is it they call it? Have me a ball.
Brick.
A ball, huh?
Big Daddy.
That's right. A ball. A ball. Hell, I slept with Big Mama till, 5 years ago, till I was 60 and she was 58, and never even liked her. Never did.
The phone has been ringing down the hall. Big Mama enters, exclaiming, Big Mama,
don't you men hear that phone ring? I heard it way out on the gallery.
Big Daddy,
there's 5 rooms off this front gallery that you could go through. Why do you go through this one?
Big Mama makes a playful face as she bustles out the hall door.
Why, when Big Mama goes out of a room, I can't remember what that woman looks like. But when Big Mama comes back into the room, oh boy, well, then I see what she looks like, and I wish I didn't.
Bends over laughing at this joke till it hurts his guts, and he straightens with a grimace. The laugh subsides to a chuckle as he puts the liquor glass a little distrustfully down on the table. Brick has risen and hobbled to the gallery doors.
Hey, where you going?
Brick. Out for a breather.
Big Daddy. Not yet, you ain't. Stay here till this talk is finished, young fella.
Brick. I thought it was finished, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. It ain't even begun.
Brick.
My mistake. Excuse me. I just wanted to feel that river breeze.
Big Daddy.
Turn on the ceiling fan and sit back down in that chair.
Big Mama's voice rises, carrying down the hall.
Big Mama. Miss Sally, you're a case. You're a caution, Miss Sally. Why didn't you give me a chance to explain it to you?
Big Daddy.
Lord, she's talking to my old maid sister again.
Big Mama.
Well, goodbye now, Miss Sally. You come down here real soon. Big Daddy's dying to see you. Yes, goodbye, Miss Sally.
She hangs up and bellows with mirth. Big Daddy groans and covers his ears as she approaches, bursting in.
Big Daddy, that was Miss Sally calling from Memphis again. You know what she's done, Big Daddy. She called her doctor in Memphis to get him to tell her what that spastic thing is. And called back to tell me how relieved she was that, hey, let me in.
Big Daddy has been holding the door half closed against her.
Big Daddy. No, I ain't. I told you not to come and go through this room. You just back on out and go through those 5 other rooms.
Big Mama.
Big Daddy, Big Daddy, oh, Big Daddy, you didn't mean those things you said to me, did you?
He shuts door firmly against her, but she still calls.
Sweetheart, sweetheart, Big Daddy, you didn't mean those awful things you said to me. I just know you didn't. I know you didn't mean those things in your heart.
The childlike voice fades with a sob, and her heavy footsteps retreat down the hall. Brick has risen once more on his crutch and starts for the gallery again. Big Daddy.
All I ask of that woman is that she leave me alone, but she can't admit to herself that she makes me sick. That comes of having slept with her too many years. Should have quit much sooner, but that old woman, she never got enough of it. And I was good in bed. I never should have wasted so much of it on her. They say you got just so many, and each one's numbered. Well, I got a few left in me. A few. And I'm gonna pick me a good one to spend them on. I'm gonna pick me a choice one. I don't care how much it costs. I'll smother in minks. I'll strip her naked and smother in minks and choke her with diamonds. I'll strip her naked and choke her with diamonds and smother her with minks and hump her from hell to breakfasts.
May, gaily at door.
Who's that laughing in there?
Gooper.
Is Big Daddy laughing in there?
Big Daddy.
Crap, them two drips.
He goes over and touches Brick's shoulder.
Yes, son, Brick boy, I'm happy. I'm happy, son. I'm happy.
He chokes a little and bites his underlip, pressing his head quickly, shyly against his son's head, and then coughing with embarrassment, goes uncertainly back to the table where he set down the glass. He drinks and makes a grimace as it burns his guts. Brick sighs and rises with effort.
What makes you so restless? You got ants in your britches?
Brick.
Yes, sir.
Big Daddy.
Why?
Brick.
Something hadn't happened.
Big Daddy.
Yeah? What's that?
Brick, sadly.
The click.
Big Daddy.
Did you say click?
Brick.
Yeah, click.
Big Daddy.
What click?
Brick. A click I get in my head that makes me peaceful.
Big Daddy.
I sure in hell don't know what you're talking about, but it disturbs me.
Brick.
It's just a mechanical thing.
Big Daddy.
What's a mechanical thing?
Brick.
This click that I get in my head that makes me peaceful. I got to drink till I get it. It's just a mechanical thing. Something like a...
Big Daddy.
Like a...
Brick.
The switch clicking off in my head, turning the hot light off and the cool light on, and...
He looks up, smiling sadly.
All of a sudden, there's peace.
Big Daddy whistles long and soft with astonishment. He goes back to Brick and claps his son's two shoulders.
Lord, I didn't know it had gotten that bad with you. Why, boy, you're an alcoholic.
Brick.
That's truth, Big Daddy. I'm alcoholic.
Big Daddy.
This shows how I let things go.
Brick. I have to hear that little click in my head that makes me peaceful. Usually I hear it sooner than this, sometimes as early as noon. But today it's dilatory. I just hadn't got the right level of alcohol in my bloodstream yet. This last statement is made with energy as he freshens his drink.
Big Daddy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now I do. The news has penetrated.
Brick.
And so if you'll excuse me.
Big Daddy.
No, I won't excuse you.
Brick.
I'd better sit by myself till I hear that click in my head. It's just a mechanical thing, but it don't happen except when I'm alone or talking to no one.
Big Daddy.
You got a long, long time to sit still, boy, and talk to no one. But now you're talking to me. At least I'm talking to you. And you sit there and listen until I tell you the conversation's over.
Brick. But this talk's like all the others we've ever had together in our lives. It's nowhere, nowhere.
It's painful, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
All right, then let it be painful. But don't you move from that chair. I'm gonna remove that crutch.
He seizes the crutch and tosses it across the room.
Brick.
I can hop on one foot, and if I fall, I can crawl.
Big Daddy,
if you ain't careful, you're going to crawl off this plantation, and then, by Lord, you'll have to hustle your drinks along Skid Row.
Brick, that'll come, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, no, it won't. You're my son, and I'm going to straighten you out. Now that I'm straightened out, I'm going to straighten you out.
Brick, yeah?
Big Daddy, today the report come in from Ochsner Clinic. You know what they told me?
His face glows with triumph.
The only thing that they could detect with all the instruments of science in that great hospital is a little spastic condition of the colon and nerves torn to pieces by all that worry about it.
A little girl bursts into the room with a sparkler clutched in each fist, bops and shrieks like a monkey gone mad, and rushes back out again as Big Daddy strikes at her. Silence. The two men stare at each other. A woman laughs gaily outside.
I want you to know I breathed a sigh of relief, almost as powerful as the Vicksburg tornado.
Brick, you weren't ready to go.
Big Daddy. Go where? Crap! When you're gone from here, boy, you're long gone and nowhere. The human machine is not so different from the animal machine, or the fish machine, or the bird machine, or the reptile machine, or the insect machine. It's just a whole damn lot more complicated and consequently more trouble to keep together. Yeah, I thought I'd had it. The earth shook under my foot, the sky come down like the black lid of a kettle, and I couldn't breathe. Today, that lid was lifted. I drew my first free breath in how many years? God, 3?
There's laughter outside, running footsteps, the soft, plushy sound and light of exploding rockets. Brick stares at him soberly for a long moment, then makes a sort of startled sound in his nostrils and springs up on one foot and bops across the room to grab his crutch, swinging on the furniture for support. He gets the crutch and flees as if in horror for the gallery. His father seizes him by the sleeve of his white silk pajamas.
Stay here, you son of a gun, till I say go.
Brick.
I can't.
Big Daddy.
You sure in hell will, damn it.
Brick.
No, I can't. We talk. You talk in circles. We get nowhere. Nowhere. It's always the same. You say you want to talk to me and don't have a rotten thing to say to me.
Big Daddy.
Nothing to say when I'm telling you I'm going to live when I thought I was dying?
Brick.
Oh, that. Is that what you got to say to me?
Big Daddy.
Why, you son of a... Ain't that important?
Brick.
Well, you said that. That's been said. And now I...
Big Daddy.
Now you set back down.
Brick.
You all balled up, you...
Big Daddy.
I ain't balled up.
Brick.
You are. You all balled up.
Big Daddy.
Don't tell me what I am, you drunken whelp. I'm gonna tear this coat sleeve off you if you don't sit down.
Brick. Big Daddy.
Do what I tell you. I'm the boss here now. I want you to know I'm back in the driver's seat now.
Big Mama rushes in, clutching her great heaving bosom.
What in hell do you want in here, Big Mama?
Big Mama.
Oh, Big Daddy, why are you shouting like that? I just can't stand it.
Big Daddy, raising the back of his hand above his head,
get out of here!
She rushes back out, sobbing. Brick, softly, sadly.
Lord.
Big Daddy, fiercely.
Yeah, Lord is right.
Brick breaks loose and hobbles toward the gallery. Big Daddy jerks his crutch from under Brick so he steps with the injured ankle. He utters a hissing cry of anguish, clutches a chair, and pulls it over on top of him on the floor.
Son of a tub of hog fat!
Brick.
Big Daddy, give me my crutch.
Big Daddy throws the crutch out of reach.
Give me that crutch, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Why do you drink?
Brick.
Don't know. Give me my crutch.
Big Daddy.
You better think why you drink or give up drinking.
Brick.
Will you please give me my crutch so I can get up off his floor?
Big Daddy.
First you answer my question. Why do you drink? Why are you throwing your life away, boy, like something disgusting you picked up on the street? Brick, getting onto his knees.
Big Daddy, I'm in pain. I stepped on that foot.
Big Daddy.
Good. I'm glad you're not too numb with the liquor in you to feel some pain.
Brick.
You spill my drink.
Big Daddy.
I'll make a bargain with you. You tell me why you drink, and I'll hand you one. I'll pour you the liquor myself, and I'll hand it to you.
Brick.
Why do I drink?
Big Daddy.
Yeah, why?
Brick.
Give me a drink, and I'll tell you.
Big Daddy.
Tell me first.
Brick.
I'll tell you in one word.
Big Daddy.
What word?
Brick.
Disgust!
The clock chimes softly, sweetly. Big Daddy gives it a short, outraged glance.
Now how about that drink?
Big Daddy.
What are you disgusted with? You got to tell me that first. Otherwise, being disgusted don't make no sense.
Brick.
Give me my crutch.
Big Daddy.
You heard me. You got to tell me what I asked you first.
Brick.
I told you. I said to kill my disgust.
Big Daddy.
Disgust with what?
Brick.
You strike a hard bargain.
Big Daddy.
What are you disgusted with? And I'll pass you the liquor.
Brick.
I can hop on one foot, and if I fall, I can crawl.
Big Daddy.
You won't liquor that bad?
Brick, dragging himself up, clinging to bedstead.
Yeah, I want it that bad.
Big Daddy.
If I give you a drink, will you tell me what you're disgusted with, Brick?
Brick.
Yes, sir. I'll try to.
The old man pours him a drink and solemnly passes it to him. There's silence as Brick drinks.
Have you ever heard the word mendacity?
Big Daddy.
Sure. Mendacity is one of them $5 words that cheap politicians throw back and forth at each other.
Brick.
You know what it means.
Big Daddy.
Don't it mean lying and liars?
Brick.
Yes, sir. Lying and liars.
Big Daddy.
Has someone been lying to you?
Children chanting in chorus off stage.
We want Big Daddy. We want Big Daddy.
Gooper appears in the gallery door. Gooper.
Big Daddy, the kiddies are shouting for you out there.
Big Daddy, fiercely.
Keep out, Gooper.
Gooper.
Excuse me.
Big Daddy slams the doors after Gooper.
Big Daddy. Who's been lying to you? Has Margaret been lying to you? Has your wife been lying to you about something, Brick?
Brick.
Not her. That wouldn't matter.
Big Daddy.
Then who's been lying to you? And what about?
Brick.
No one single person and no one lie.
Big Daddy.
Then what? What then, for God's sake?
Brick.
The whole thing.
Big Daddy.
Why are you rubbing your head? You got a headache?
Brick.
No, I'm trying to.
Big Daddy.
Concentrate, but you can't 'cause your brain's all soaked up with liquor? Is that the trouble? Wet brain?
He snatches the glass from Brick's hand.
What do you know about this mendacity thing? Hell, I could write a book on it. Don't you know that? I could write a book on it and still not cover the subject. Well, I could write a damn book on it and still not cover the subject anywhere near enough. Think of all the lies I got to put up with. Pretenses. Ain't that mendacity? Having to pretend stuff you don't think or feel or have any idea of? Having, for instance, to act like I care for Big Mama. I hadn't been able to stand a sight, sound, or smell of that woman for 40 years now. Even when I laid her, regular as a piston, pretend to love that son of a Gooper and his wife May and those five same screeches out there like parrots in a jungle. Lord, I can't stand to look at them. Church, it balls the bejesus out of me. But I go, and sit down and listen to the fool preacher. Clubs, Elks, Masons, Rotary, crap!
A spasm of pain makes him clutch his belly. He sinks into a chair and his voice is softer and hoarser.
You, I do, like, for some reason. Did always have some kind of real feeling. Real feeling for affection, respect. Yeah, always. You and being a success as a planter's. That's all I ever had any devotion to in my whole life. And that's the truth. I don't know why, but it is. I live with mendacity. Why can't you live with it? Hell, you got to live with it. There's nothing else to live with except mendacity, is there?
Brick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There is something else that you can live with.
Big Daddy.
What?
Brick, lifting his glass.
This. Liquor.
Big Daddy.
That's not living. That's dodging away from life.
Brick.
I want to dodge away from it.
Big Daddy.
Then why don't you kill yourself, man?
Brick.
I like to drink.
Big Daddy.
Oh, God, I can't talk to you.
Brick.
I'm sorry, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Not as sorry as I am. I'll tell you something. A little while back, when I thought my number was up, this speech should have torrential pace and fury. Before I found out it was just this spastic colon, I thought about you. Should I, or should I not, if the jig was up, give you this place when I go, since I hate Goopa and May, and know that they hate me, and since all five of them same monkeys are little Mays and Goopas, and I thought, no, 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 then I thought, yeah, I couldn't make up my mind. I hate Goopa and his five same monkeys and that bitch May. Why should I turn over 28,000 acres of the richest land this side of the valley now to not my kind? But why in hell, on the other hand, Brick, should I subsidize a damn fool on the bottle? Liked or not liked? Well, maybe even loved. Why should I do that? Subsidize worthless behavior, rot, corruption.
Brick, smiling.
I understand. Big Daddy. Well, if you do, you're smarter than I am. Damn it, cause I don't understand. And this, well, I'll tell you frankly, I didn't make up my mind at all on that question. And still to this day, I ain't made out no will. Well, now I don't have to. The pressure's gone. I can just wait and see if you pull yourself together or if you don't.
Brick.
That's right, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
You sound like you thought I was kidding.
Brick, rising.
No, sir, I know you're not kidding.
Big Daddy.
But you don't care.
Brick, hobbling toward the gallery door.
No, sir, I don't care. Now, how about taking a look at your birthday fireworks and getting some of that cool breeze off the river?
He stands in the gallery door as the night sky turns pink and green and gold with successive flashes of light.
Big Daddy. Wait! Brick.
His voice drops. Suddenly there's something shy, almost tender, in his restraining gesture.
Don't let's leave it like this, like them other talks we've had. We've always talked around things. We've just talked around things for some rotten reason. I don't know what it's always like. It's like something was left not spoken. Something avoided because neither of us was honest enough with the other.
Brick.
I never lied to you, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Did I ever to you?
Brick.
No, sir.
Big Daddy.
Then there's at least two people that never lied to each other.
Brick.
But we never talked to each other.
Big Daddy.
We can now.
Brick.
Big Daddy.
There don't seem to be anything much to say.
Big Daddy. You say that you drink to kill your disgust with lying.
Brick.
You said to give you a reason.
Big Daddy.
Is liquor the only thing that'll kill this disgust?
Brick.
Now?
Yeah. Big Daddy.
But not once, huh?
Brick.
Not when I was still young and believing. A drinking man's someone who wants to forget he isn't still young and believing.
Big Daddy.
Believing what?
Brick.
Believing. Big Daddy.
Believe in what?
Brick, stubbornly evasive.
Believing. Big Daddy. I don't know what the hell you mean by believing, and I don't think you know what you mean by believing. But if you still got sports in your blood, go back to sports announcing and...
Brick. Sit in a glass box watching games I can't play, describing what I can't do while players do it, sweating out their disgust and confusion in contests I'm not fit for, drinking a Coke, half bourbon, so I can stand it? That's no damn good anymore. It's no help. Time just outran me, Big Daddy. Got there first.
Big Daddy. I think you're passing the buck.
Brick. You know many drinking men? Big Daddy. With a slight, charming smile.
I've known a fair number of that species.
Brick. Could any of them tell you why I drank? Big Daddy.
Yep, you're passing the buck to things like time and disgust with mendacity and crap. If you got to use that kind of language about a thing, it's 90-proof bull, and I ain't buying any.
Brick. I had to give you a reason to get a drink.
Big Daddy. You started drinking when your friend Skipper died.
Silence for 5 beats. Then Brick makes a startled movement, reaching for his crutch.
Brick. What are you suggesting?
Big Daddy.
I'm suggesting nothing.
The shuffle and clop of Brick's rapid hobble away from his father's steady, grave attention.
But Goop and May suggested that there was something not right exactly in your...
Brick, stopping short downstage as if back to a wall.
Not right.
Big Daddy.
Not, well, exactly normal in your friendship with...
Brick.
They suggested that too. I thought that was Maggie's suggestion.
Brick's detachment is at last broken through. His heart is accelerated, his forehead sweat-beaded. His breath becomes more rapid and his voice hoarse. The thing they're discussing, timidly and painfully on the side of Big Daddy, fiercely, violently on Brick's side, is the inadmissible thing that Skipper died to disavow between them. The fact that if it existed, it had to be disavowed to keep face in the world they lived in, may be at the heart of the mendacity that Brick drinks to kill his disgust with. It may be the root of his collapse, or maybe it's only a single manifestation of it, not even the most important. The bird that I hope to catch in the net of this play is not the solution of one man's psychological problem. I'm trying to catch the true quality of experience in a group of people, that cloudy, flickering, evanescent, fiercely charged interplay of live human beings in the thundercloud of a common crisis. Some mystery should be left in the revelation of character in a play, just as a great deal of mystery is always left in the revelation of character in life, even in one's own character to himself. This does not absolve the playwright of his duty to observe and probe as clearly and deeply as he legitimately can, but it should steer him away from pat conclusions, facile definitions, which make a play just play, not a snare for the truth of human experience. The following scene should be played with great concentration, with most of the power leashed but palpable in what is left unspoken.
Who else's suggestion is it? Is it yours? How many others thought that Skipper and I were...
Big Daddy, gently.
Now hold on a minute, son. I knocked around in my time.
Brick.
What's that got to do with...
Big Daddy.
I said, hold on. I bummed this country, till I was...
Big Daddy.
Brick. Whose suggestion? Who else's suggestion is it?
Big Daddy.
Slept in hobo jungles and railroad wires and flop houses and all cities before I...
Brick.
Oh, you think so, too. You call me your son and a queer. Oh, maybe that's why you put Maggie and me in this room that was Jack Straw's and Peter O'Chella's, in which that pair old sisters slept in a double bed where both of them died.
Big Daddy.
Now just don't go throwing rocks at...
Suddenly, Reverend Tooker appears in the gallery doors, his head slightly, playfully, fatuously cocked with a practiced clergyman's smile, sincere as a bird call blown on a hunter's whistle, the living embodiment of the pious conventional lie. Big Daddy gasps a little at this perfectly timed but incongruous apparition.
What you looking for, preacher?
Reverend Tooker.
The gentleman's lavatory.
Big Daddy, with strained courtesy.
Go back out and walk down to the other end of the gallery, Reverend Tooker, and use the bathroom connected with my bedroom. And if you can't find it, ask them where it is.
Reverend Tooker.
Thanks.
He goes out with a deprecatory chuckle. Big Daddy.
It's hard to talk in this place.
Brick.
Son of a...
Big Daddy, leaving a lot unspoken.
I seen all things and understood a lot of them till 1910. Lord, the year that I'd worn my shoes through, I hopped off a Yellow Dog freight car half a mile down the road, slept in a wagon of cotton outside the gin. Jack Straw and Peter Ocello took me in, hired me to manage this place, which grew into this one. When Jack Straw died, why, old Peter Ocello quit eating like a dog does when its master's dead, and he died too.
Brick.
Lord!
Big Daddy.
I'm just saying, I understand such...
Brick, violently.
Skipper's dead. I have not quit eating.
Big Daddy.
No, but you started drinking.
Brick wheels on his crutch and hurls his glass across the room, shouting. Brick.
You think so, too?
Big Daddy.
Shh.
Footsteps run on the gallery. There are women's calls. Big Daddy goes toward the door.
Go away. Just broke a glass.
Brick is transformed, as if a quiet mountain blew suddenly up in volcanic flame.
Brick. You think so, too? You think so, too? You think me and Skipper did sodomy together?
Big Daddy.
Oh!
Brick.
That what you...
Big Daddy.
On a minute!
Brick.
You think we did dirty things between us, Skipper and...
Big Daddy.
Why are you shouting like that? Why are you...
Brick.
Me! Is that what you think of Skipper? Is that...
Big Daddy.
So excited! I don't think nothing. I don't know nothing. I'm simply telling you what...
Brick.
You think that Skipper and me were a pair of dirty old men?
Big Daddy.
Now that's...
Brick.
Straw, a cella, a couple of...
Big Daddy.
Now just...
Brick.
Damn sissies, queers, is that what you...
Big Daddy.
Shh.
Brick.
Think?
He loses his balance and pitches to his knees without noticing the pain. He grabs the bed and drags himself up. Big Daddy.
Lord, whew, grab my hand.
Brick.
No, I don't want your hand.
Big Daddy.
Well, I want yours. Get up.
He draws him up, keeps an arm about him with concern and affection.
You've broken out in a sweat. You're panting like you'd run a race with...
Brick, freeing himself from his father's hold.
Big Daddy, you shock me. Big Daddy, you shock me, talking so...
He turns away from his father.
Casually, about a thing like that. Don't you know how people feel about things like that? How disgusted they are by things like that? Why, at Ole Miss, when it was discovered a pledge to our fraternity, Skippers and mine did attempted to do a unnatural thing with... We not only dropped him like a hot rock, we told him to get off the campus. And he did. He got all the way to...
He halts, breathless. Big Daddy.
Where?
Brick.
North Africa, last I heard.
Big Daddy.
Well, I come back from further away than that. I just now returned from the other side of the moon, Death's country, son, and I'm not easy to shock by anything here.
He comes downstage and faces out.
Always, anyhow, live with too much space around me to be infected by ideas of other people. One thing you can grow on a big place more important than cotton is tolerance. I've grown it.
He returns toward Brick.
Brick, why can't exceptional friendship, real, real, deep, deep friendship between two men be respected as something clean and decent without being thought of as...
Big Daddy.
It can. It is, for God's sake.
Brick.
Fairies.
In his utterance of this word, we gauge the wide and profound reach of the conventional mores he got from the world that crowned him with early laurel. Big Daddy.
I told May and Goopa.
Brick.
Frig May and Goopa. Frig all them dirty lies and lies. Skipper and I, yes, Skipper and me had a clean, true thing between us. Had a clean friendship practically all our lives till Maggie got the idea you're talking about. Normal? No. It was too rare to be normal. Any true thing between two people is too rare to be normal. Oh, once in a while he put his hand on my shoulder, or I'd put mine on his. Oh, maybe even when we were touring the country in pro football and shared hotel rooms, we'd reach across the space between the two beds and shake hands to say goodnight. Yeah, one or two times we...
Big Daddy.
Brick, nobody thinks that that's not normal.
Brick.
Well, they're mistaken. It was. It was a pure and true thing, and that's not normal.
They both stare straight at each other for a long moment. The tension breaks, and both turn away as if tired. Big Daddy.
Yeah, it's hard to talk.
Brick.
All right, then. Let's let it go.
Big Daddy.
Why did Skipper crack up? Why have you...
Brick looks back at his father again. He's already decided, without knowing that he has made this decision, that he's going to tell his father that he is dying of cancer. Only this could even the score between them, one inadmissible thing in return for another. Brick, ominously.
All right. You're asking for it, Big Daddy. We're finally going to have that real, true talk you wanted. It's too late to stop it now. We got to carry it through and cover every subject.
He hobbles back to the liquor cabinet.
Uh-huh.
He opens the ice bucket and picks up the silver tongs with slow admiration of their frosty brightness.
Maggie declares that Skipper and I went into pro football after we left Ole Miss because we were scared to grow up.
He moves downstage with the shuffle and clop of a cripple on a crutch. As Margaret did when her speech became recitative, he looks out into the house, commanding its attention by his direct, concentrated gaze, a broken, tragically elegant figure telling simply as much as he knows of the truth.
Wanted to keep on tossing those long, long, high, high passes that couldn't be intercepted except by time. The aerial attack that made us famous. And so we did. We did. We kept it up for one season, that aerial attack. We held it high. Yeah. But that summer, Maggie, she laid the law down to me. Now or never. And so I married Maggie.
Big Daddy.
How was Maggie in bed?
Brick, Riley.
Great. The greatest.
Big Daddy nods as if he thought so.
She went on the road that fall with the Dixie Stars. Oh, she made a great show of being the world's best sport. She wore a tall bearskin cap. A shako, they call it. A dyed moleskin coat. A moleskin coat dyed red, cut up crazy, rented hotel ballrooms for victory celebrations, wouldn't cancel them when it turned out defeat. Maggie the Cats.
Big Daddy nods.
But Skipper, he had some fever which came back on him, which doctors couldn't explain, and I got that injury. Turned out to be just a shadow on the x-ray plate and a touch of bursitis. I lay in a hospital bed, watched her games on TV. Saw Maggie on the bench next to Skipper when he was hauled out of a game for fumbles, burned me up the way she hung on his arm. You know, I think that Maggie had always felt sort of left out because she and me never got any closer together than two people just get in bed, which is not much closer than two cats on a fence humping. So she took this time to work on poor dumb Skipper. He was a less than average student at Ole Miss, you know that, don't you? Poured in his mind the dirty, false idea that what we were, him and me, was a frustrated case of that old pair of sisters that lived in this room, Jack Straw and Peter Ocella. He, poor Skipper, went to bed with Maggie to prove it wasn't true, and when it didn't work out, he thought it was true. Skipper broke in two like a rotten stick. Nobody ever turned so fast to a lush or died of it so quick. Now, are you satisfied?
Big Daddy has listened to this story, dividing the grain from the chaff. Now he looks at his son. Big Daddy.
Are you satisfied? Brick. With what?
Big Daddy.
That half-ass story.
Brick.
What's half-ass about it?
Big Daddy.
Something's left out of that story. What'd you leave out?
The phone has started ringing in the hall. As if it reminded him of something, Brick glances suddenly toward the sound and says,
Brick.
Yeah, I left out a long-distance call which I had from Skipper, in which he made a drunken confession to me, and on which I hung up, last time we spoke to each other in our lives.
Muted ring stops as someone answers phone in a soft, indistinct voice in hall. Big Daddy.
You hung up.
Brick.
Hung up. Lord.
Well,
Big Daddy. Anyhow now, we track down the lie with which you're disgusted, and which you're drinking to kill your disgust with, Brick. You've been passing a buck. This disgust with mendacity is disgust with yourself. You dug the grave of your friend and kicked him in it before you'd face truth with him.
Brick.
His truth, not mine.
Big Daddy.
His truth, okay, but you wouldn't face it with him.
Brick.
Who can face truth? Can you?
Big Daddy.
Now don't start passing a rotten buck again, boy.
Brick.
How about these birthday congratulations? These many, many happy returns of the day when everybody but you knows there won't be any.
Whoever's answered the hall phone lets out a high, shrill laugh. The voice becomes audible, saying,
No, no, you got it all wrong. Upside down. Are you crazy?
Brick suddenly catches his breath as he realizes that he's made a shocking disclosure. He hobbles a few paces, then freezes, and without looking at his father's shocked face, says,
Let's go out now. And
Big Daddy moves suddenly forward and grabs hold of the boy's crutch like it was a weapon for which they were fighting for possession. Big Daddy.
Oh, no, no. No one's going out. What'd you start to say?
Brick. I don't remember.
Big Daddy. Many happy returns when they know there won't be any?
Brick.
Oh, hell, Big Daddy, forget it. Come on out on the gallery and look at the fireworks they're shooting off for your birthday.
Big Daddy.
First, you finish that remark you were making before you cut off. Many happy returns when they know there won't be any. Ain't that what you just said?
Brick.
Look now, I can get around without that crutch if I have to. But it'd be a whole lot easier on the furniture and glassware if I didn't have to go swinging along like Tarzan or the...
Big Daddy.
Finish what you were saying.
An eerie green glow shows in the sky behind him.
Brick, sucking the ice in his glass, speech becoming thick. Leave the place to Goopa and May and their five little same little monkeys.
All I want is...
Big Daddy.
Leave the place, did you say?
Brick, vaguely. All 28,000 acres of the richest land this side of the valley now.
Big Daddy. Who said I was leaving the place to Goopa or anybody? This is my 65th birthday. I got 15 years or 20 years left in me. I'll outlive you. I'll bury you and have to pay for your coffin.
Brick.
Sure.
Many happy returns. Now let's go watch the fireworks. Come on, let's...
Big Daddy. Lying. Have they been lying about the report from the clinic? Did they? Did they find something? Cancer? Maybe.
Brick.
Mendacity is a system that we live in. Liquor's one way out and death's the other.
He takes the crutch from Big Daddy's loose grip and swings out on the gallery, leaving the doors open. A song, Pick a Bale of Cotton, is heard.
May, appearing in door.
Oh, Big Daddy, the field hands are singing for you.
Big Daddy, shouting hoarsely.
Brick! Brick!
May.
He's outside drinking, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Brick!
May retreats, awed by the passion of his voice. Children call Brick in tones mocking Big Daddy. His face crumbles like broken yellow plaster about to fall into dust. There's a glow in the sky. Brick swings back through the doors, slowly, gravely, quite soberly.
Brick. I'm sorry, Big Daddy. My head don't work anymore, and it's hard for me to understand how anybody could care if he lived or died,
or was dying, or cared about anything but whether or not there was liquor left in the bottle. And so I said what I said without thinking. In some ways, I'm no better than the others. In some ways, worse, because I'm less alive. Maybe it's being alive that makes them lie, and being almost not alive makes me sort of accidentally truthful. I don't know, but anyway, we've been friends, and being friends is telling each other the truth. There's a pause. You told me? I told you. A child rushes into the room and grabs a fistful of firecrackers and runs out again. Child screaming,
Bang, 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 bang!
Big Daddy, slowly and passionately,
Lord, damn, all lions, sons of lion!
He straightens at last and crosses to the inside door. At the door he turns and looks back as if he had some desperate question he couldn't put into words. Then he nods reflectively and says in a hoarse voice,
Yes, all lies, all liars, all lying, dying liars.
This is said slowly, slowly, with a fierce revulsion. He goes on out.
Lying, dying, liars.
His voice dies out. There's the sound of a child being slapped. It rushes, hideously, bawling, through room and out the hall door. Brick remains motionless as the lights dim out and the curtain falls. Curtain. This has been Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams. Narrated by Troy W. Hudson. Copyright 2018, BN Publishing Online at bnpublishing.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.